Welcome to the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. We are so excited to share with you today another class from our full-time School of Transformation. Today's topic is called New Covenant Standard, taught by Lisa Bowers. We hope that you grow closer to Jesus as you listen to this lesson.
Okay, we are going to talk about the standard of the new covenant. Yos just hit the old covenant and new covenant, and now we're going to take an in-depth dive into what does it actually mean when we say a new covenant standard. What is a standard? Now, here's the thing about standards, is we all grow up with different moral standards, right? We just had a discussion about Halloween. One person believes one thing, one person believes the other, right? And it's different, completely different. And so we have that pretty much everywhere in life. My husband and I grew up in very different households growing up. Our standard for life, very different. So we've had to come together and figure out what is our standard going to be for our family? And what is it now with Jesus in the middle of it? And what does that look like for our family, right? And to also know that people's standards are different around us. And so a standard that we hold might not be a standard that somebody else holds. And if it's not morally incorrect, then it's okay for them to have that difference, right? But it all comes down to heart. It all comes down to decision. It all comes down to relationship. It all comes down to, you know, what you grew up with, how you grew up, and what kind of heart and heart hurt you have, right? Because we filter everything we believe through the way we've been hurt, the way we've been raised, the things that have been said to us, the things that have been done to us. You know, you've now gotten a few of our testimonies, and you now know that there are a few of us that have grown up differently. And we filter everything we believe, that word believe again, through our hurt.
Yeah.
We do. Whether we like it or we don't, it's just the truth. Yeah. Which is why we put such a big emphasis on laying a foundation of what it is to have new covenant, what Jesus, what God meant in the old covenant, and then why Jesus had to come, right? We are starting to understand that more. It's starting to become more foundational. It's something you can actually build your Christianity upon because you know background and history now, and you're getting to know more of it, right? And so then you cannot, oh, okay, when he said this, so when you read things in the Bible, you can be like, oh, when he said this, this is why. Because he couldn't have that be the way anymore. Right? So Jesus came, like Yo said, and partnered with us. That's why he had to be fully human and fully God at the same time, so that he could be that for us. So he could be the bridge that connected us back to the Father, because that was the point. God the Father created his kids and has been separated from them. And he needed Jesus to come and to lay down his life so that bridge could be rebuilt between us and the Father. How kind. Can you just think about that for a second? Being reunited with a loving Father, not an abusive Father, not a crazy Father, a very kind and generous and loving and awe-inspiring Father that we have been separated from. And he came and he built that bridge for us. He connected those dots for us. It was a chasm in between us. And by laying down his life and dying on the cross and creating this new standard to live by, this new covenant, it's the bridge. He's the bridge that we use to connect with a Father. Again, I started opening this up with, we see these things through our hurt. So if you grew up with no father, if you grew up with an abusive father, if you grew up with a father that was in the house but emotionally unattached, right? You have a different view of what I just described. You have a different take on everything I just said. You have a different emotional feeling about everything I just said. You might not have any feeling about the idea of a loving father wanting to get to know you, because you don't even know what that's like. Or how can that even be true? There's obviously a reason that he wasn't around, or a reason that he left, or a reason that whatever, you fill in the blank. Right? And so that might be the numb part of you. But what we have to recognize is that when we start to get rid of our hurt, to go after our old ways, to remove them from our new life by doing things like forgiving, it's not a, it's, you're not always going to have an emotional fuzzy feeling around forgiveness. Most of the time, you're not. Right? But are you willing to overcome and walk through the pain of that to allow him to be the bridge that connects you to the thing that you have been created for? Created for relationship with a loving father. You created for it. So are you willing? Not can you get there today? Not what I said. But are you willing, like Chloe said the other day, to say, I am willing to start the process. I am willing, Jesus, for you to intervene however you want in my life when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to the hurts of my heart, when it comes to letting myself off the hook, when it comes to all of the things that hold me back from a relationship. Because then we can start to understand this new covenant standard. Because it's not easy. Yo said it. It's not easy. Forgiving self, not easy. Forgiving others, not easy. The standards and requirements that he has for us, not easy, right? We have this idea in the world, and the world is starting to shape Christianity. It's starting to shape how we see Christianity, and that's how we form our opinion about Christianity. We don't go to the source. It's like, how many years was I a Christian before I actually went to the source to find out what it took to be a Christian? Too many years. My whole growing up. Because it was based on an experience that I had with God, a feeling. That was wonderful. But if I could partner it with the truth, if I could take the truth of what he said and partner that feeling, that emotional connection to the truth of God, it's unstoppable. But I didn't have this. I didn't have this at all. I didn't have the standard down. So I just lived. I didn't know. Because I didn't open it. I didn't find out. Right? And so then when I came here, it was like, my life is forever changed. Like, I can't go back. You can't go back. And if you do go back, it's with knowing this. And your life won't be the same. Yeah. Because you now know there's a standard. And it's not dictated by the world. The world will tell you that the standard is whatever you want it to be, just like every family has their own moral code. Every family has their own moral standard, a standard of what they believe and what they don't believe. My husband grew up with horror movies since he was a small child. I did not. I did not at all. My mom was like, that is inviting evil, spirits of evil into our house. That was her take. And he's like literally running around in evil because he's watching them all the time, and there's this curiosity that pulls you in. I just gotta watch it. I just gotta be scared. Mm-hmm. Right? And the enemy is wanting you to draw you in. There's something inside of us that's curious about the other side. Sometimes more curious than about God. But that's because the world is telling you, you can have whatever opinion about God and whatever standard you want and still call yourself a Christian. You can live one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, no problem. Because the world is defining what Christianity is instead of Jesus. And so that's why we hammer this stuff home. That's why you might hear it 15 times, what the standard is, the requirements. We might go over it over and over again because Sometimes it takes that long to get the world out of the way, to see the truth, to be able to reflect on our hearts and our life and to say, wow, do I have that in me? Do I have this in me? Do I have the world in me, or do I have him only? And are you fighting for only him? Or are you allowing, well, the world's not that bad. A little bit of this isn't that bad. A little bit of this isn't that bad. There's a study that was done at a university. It was a room full of students, and they came every single day to class, okay? It might have been every week, every day. They came to class, the same room, same teacher. And so every time the class left, they painted the room, and they added one drop of brown, one drop, and they'd paint the room. The class would come, class would leave, they put one drop in, they'd paint the room. They'd take the same paint, put one more drop in, paint the room. By the end of the semester, the room was a different color and nobody noticed. Mm-hmm. Nobody noticed. The professor said, did anybody notice that we changed the colors of the walls? And every student said, there's no way. You didn't. But they did, incrementally. And that's what the world is like, adding one drop of the world into the mix of the standard of Christianity makes it so that it's not Christianity anymore. But you don't even notice because you forget what the baseline was anyway. You forget what the standard was anyway. And so allowing, oh, that's fine here. Oh, that's fine here. Oh, add a little bit of this here. Oh, that's okay this one time. And soon we have a different color of Christianity. Soon we don't have the standard, and soon the world looks at us and says, well, if that's a Christian and I'm a Christian, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. If they say they're a Christian and I say I'm not a Christian and we're living the same life, then why would I live as a Christian? Mm-hmm. There's no point, right? Because there really isn't, unless you're willing to uphold the standard. That's hard. Especially in a world that's drawing you in, that seems to be louder than his voice. But we need to make his voice louder. We need the world to stop telling us about the fuzzy, warm, bunny flowers running through the tulip Christianity. That's not it. That's not what Jesus actually went through. He gave us a demonstration. And if we actually read about his life, that's a pretty gruesome demonstration. His life was an example of what we as Christians are to do, to walk, and to obey. He never did anything outside of what he saw the Father doing. Listen, my whole life, my whole day, for the most part, I can't say that it's probably 90% in what I only see the Father doing. I want it to be. I want it to be that. I want it to mirror Jesus. I want it to be that 90% of my day, 100% of my day, I only do and I only say what I see the Father doing and saying. Now, there are chunks of my day where here we are an hour, right, in class in the mornings. I get the opportunity to more often than not say what the Father is saying, do what the Father is doing. You know, when I'm out there at Lights of Hope or in All Hands on Deck or I'm doing my administration work for the things in this ministry that I'm a part of, sure, I'm doing what I see the Father doing. But am I in relationship with him so much that if he said, Lisa, get up and go right now and go visit XYZ because they're at the end of their rope and they need you right now, would I hear it? Would I know it? Would I be in tune to him? Right? There's a standard that Jesus held that we need to hold. So let's dive into that a little bit. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So in Luke 22, verse 20, he says, Jesus took the cup after taking the bread, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus was saying, here I am. I am it. I am it. I am the new way. The old is now gone. I am now here, and this is the way you need to go forward. And he was talking to a bunch of people that were really stuck in their ways. We get stuck in our ways, don't we? It's tradition. It's what we've always done. How can we change it now? Do you know how disappointed my kids would be? Do you know how upset my family would be? Do you know how upset or what I would look like to the world if I changed this about my life and my family and my decisions? And he's saying, okay, I hear you. I hear you, but I'm it. And you have a choice now. What are you going to choose? Which way are you going to choose? Are you going to choose your definition of Christianity and the standard that you want to hold? Because it's easy. Easier, maybe. Maybe you'll hold yourself to an okay standard. Mm-hmm. Or do we want to actually study what Jesus said to know, like, man, I am so far off, I need to get on track. And it's not just to bring condemnation on you. It's not to put shame on you and to say, well, poor you, you just decided to live your own life and now look at the mess you're in. You should get right or get left, as they say. Yeah. It's like, no. Why don't we use this as an opportunity to be like, man, Jesus, I fall short of your glory. But who else says that in here? Said all the time, I fall short of your glory, but I will dust myself off and I will keep going. My eye on the prize, going after the truth, going after what he says. Man, I made a wrong turn right there. I'm coming back to you, Jesus. I'm going to stop in my tracks. I'm going to do a 180 and head in the opposite direction. Being able to hold a standard and being able to know what that is and not just, well, I kind of do. You know, you don't do the things you're not supposed to do. Well, what is that? Okay, sex outside of marriage, great. What else? Lying, great. Okay, stealing, great. Oh, but lying is okay sometimes. Well, if it's, you know, if it's to bring life to somebody or protect somebody. We have a saying around here. Some of you may have heard it. If you choose to not snitch on somebody, you don't love them. You actually hate the person.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, snitches don't get stitches. Exactly. That's the lie the world has sold you. Because Jesus is so much after the person that you're about to snitch on, that he's saying, hey, are you willing to even sacrifice your friendship with them to save their life? And not just life here on earth. Okay, guys, life here on earth is, okay, great. Like, eternity. I'm in a situation right now. My grandfather is in his last days. He didn't want to pray with me and receive Jesus when I was there. And he is somebody in my life that has a huge impact. And all of a sudden, you're faced with death and you're faced with the reality of, is he going to spend eternity in hell? Steve described hell a week ago perfectly. A dark room with no windows, no doors, no up, no down, no way out. Forever.
Alone.
Alone. And even knowing that he's real, you have to know he's real and that you didn't choose him for eternity, not for 100 years on earth, forever. And my grandfather is at a decision point in his life where he either needs to say yes to Jesus and spend eternity in heaven, even on his deathbed, or he will spend eternity in hell. That is a revelation that you have when you have somebody on the edge right there. Because then all of a sudden it's not some game that you play on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's real life. Am I ever going to see him again? Or when I get to heaven, am I going to know that he is separated from the King of Kings, the one that I have known and grown to love with all of my life? Forever. And that, as somebody that loves him, is heartbreaking, mm-hmm. Devastating. So I called him, you know, I prayed the prayer on the phone and I said, if you want this in your life, say yes in your heart. Say yes to him. Say yes to him. And I don't know. Right? But if we have this revelation
that there is a standard to live by, and if we don't actually meet that standard, it's not that just we might go to heaven. No, we don't go to heaven. It's very clear. You cannot be forgiven if you don't forgive. It's not like you get a second chance, like when you meet him face to face, to forgive. No, you don't. He has to look at you and say, depart from me. You chose not to do the thing I asked you to do, the standard that I gave. See, we have people in our life that give us passes on things all the time. Well, can I have a pass on that? You know, I didn't do it perfectly this time, but can I have a pass on that? You know, our parents do it. We do it as parents. Okay, I'll give you grace this time, which we do. Jesus is giving us a lifetime right now of grace to get it right. And there's going to be a day where that grace is no longer. Mm-hmm. Just like when we have a child that continues to repeat the same behavior, at some point you're going to have to make sure that behavior changes instantly. It's no more, this is your last time. This is your last time. Because they're just going to learn that they just get ultimate tries. Yeah. And what is that teaching them about anything in life? Nothing, really. Just that they should be able to get all these different outs, passes, exemptions. But I should be exempt from this. No, you shouldn't. Right? We have to teach our children these things so that they know that there is grace for them in the learning process. Absolutely, 100%. But that day will end someday. And that grace will end someday. And then what? That's why knowing the standard has to be. If we decide to call ourselves a Christian. Now, if you want to not call yourself a Christian, if people out there absolutely say, nope, I am not a Christian, then it says live cold. Live cold against God. Or live hot for God. But do not live lukewarm. Because he will spit you out of his mouth. Listen, I've read the Old Testament. I don't know about you. I don't want to be spit out of God's mouth. Just throwing that out there. That's devastating. I don't want 90% of my life to be on fire for God and 10% of it to be lukewarm. But realistically, when we're talking about, you know, this covenant that Jesus died for, gave up his life, showed us the way, tempted by the enemy. You don't think you're going to be tempted? You don't think that's going to stop the minute you say, yes, Jesus, after 20 seconds of doing what we do? And you know what we do? We invite him into our life. You know what we need to be doing? Saying, Jesus, here is my life. Because that's the reality of the new covenant. It's not, could you come and fill what I've already created in here and I'll just make a little room for you and you can fill it up. Yeah. No, it's, here is all of old me, every bit of my life. Mm-hmm. I submit it to you so that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. You have to know his truth. That's why a lot of the School of Transformation is finding out who God is, then who that makes you, right? Because then you can actually base your life off of knowing who he is, what he says about you, and then you can actually take that truth and create a foundation in that, knowing that then we can actually mirror the steps of Jesus. The reason he didn't give into temptation? Because he knew the truth. He combated the lies with the truth, which is the thing that we like hammer home a lot. No, what's the truth? I hear that lie coming through, but what's the truth? It's the way I overcame so much in my life. So much self-hate, guys. It's because I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, God said, Lisa Danielle, that this is who you are. God said, you don't get to say anymore.
Yeah.
Then I look myself in the eye and do those things over and over and over and over again so that they became foundational in my life. So then I don't operate out of a place of self-hate anymore. I operate out of a place of knowing that this is what God said about me. He created me in his image. Therefore, I can overcome when the enemy comes in with his lies. And you know what? The enemy comes in with his lies through people, situations, circumstances. You don't think that also happened to Jesus? He was literally born to a mother who was unmarried. That is controversy in and of itself, right there. The amount that was probably like stamped on him when he was born, and Joseph for taking that on, because that is like the ultimate shame for a family. He walked in this, guys. He walked in this. You can't just say, well, Jesus doesn't know. No, Jesus knows. He put himself in every situation. At the end, when he was on that cross, he had a separation from the Father for the first time in his entire, his human existence. And he never knew that otherwise, because he is also God. And there was a separation from the Father that he experienced, crying out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine? I know some of you can imagine what that's like as a little girl or a little boy, not knowing who their father was or watching them walk away. And Jesus went through it. He had a separation. So don't tell me that you can't live the standard because Jesus doesn't know. Jesus knows. Therefore, you can live the standard because he's been there. He was both. And that's it, right? That's why they say he's fully human, fully God. Crazy that that even happened. That he gave up his position. He laid down his throne and his crown to lower himself into human form for you and for me. And then he says, guys, listen, but there's going to be a standard that you have to uphold. The old covenant is gone now. I am the new covenant. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You cannot get to the Father but through me. He is the bridge. So looking at our hearts and constantly saying, Jesus, where am I not living your standard? What is it that I'm allowing into my life that you look upon and that breaks your heart? That breaks your heart because you know that there's causing separation between you and I. And we have to realize that this is not just some, you know, additional part of your life that you add in for, you know, a spice to make it a better tasting soup. No, you took your batch of soup and you dumped it, and you're allowing him to start over. The only thing you are is an empty pot. And he's going to fill you with whatever he wants, whatever he says. And when you try to put something in and he says, no, don't do it. Are you going to do it and dirty the soup? Or are you going to follow him and allow him to then add what he wants in? You want some selfishness in there? Let's put some selflessness in there and let me fill the reason why you wanted selfishness in there. Mm-hmm. Let me fill the reason as to why you wanted to lie right there. Let me fill the reason as to why you can't tell the truth. Let me fill the reason as to why you can't forgive and be healed. Let me pour what I need to into you. And let me fill the reason why you've operated the way you've operated your whole life outside of his standard. Listen, he says in here, it's going to be better that I go. It's going to be better, guys. It's going to be so much better that I go, because I'm sending you one. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, who, when we offer our life to Jesus, he comes and the Holy Spirit fills us up. Overflowing, it says, abundant life, joy unspeakable, hope of glory, fills us if we let him. He fills us. And he says, I'm sending you one, a Holy Spirit, that will do, you will do greater things than I. I don't know about you. My life is not doing greater things than Jesus right now. I want to get there. I'm after it. So we're just going to read in Ephesians here. Let's take a look at Ephesians. And we're going to go to Chapter 5. Ephesians is a great book. It's a butt kicker, right? So then, like, in part of Ephesians 4, it says living as children of the light. And I, and then part of what I'm going to read now was also part of what I read yesterday in worship. I read yesterday in worship Ephesians 8 all the way through to 15. But I'm going to read the whole bit here there of Ephesians 5. So 5:1, it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater and has does not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. It says, don't link your life up to them if people are doing this. They're doing any of these things. If you're doing any of these things, don't link your life up with people. Get rid of it now. There is no place for you in the kingdom of God. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. There's some standard right there. If you're living in the light and children of the light, there needs to be goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. There's a standard. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shame. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the Lord's will. Do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. There's another standard. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then it goes on to wives and husbands, submit to each other and love each other just like Christ loved the church. And because your husband is going to love you like Christ loved the church, then you will submit to him. That's an easy thing to do, guys. That's an easy thing to do. If your husband is actually loving, if you as a husband someday, if you're actually loving your wife like Christ loved the church, Christ died for the church, gave up everything selflessly. Nothing about him was in the mix. He laid down his position. He laid down his kingdom authority of being a ruler on a throne to come down to be a part of us, to be made part human, to live a standard. So when we go out and say, well, I have needs, you know, well, what about me? I'm doing this for us. So this is it reflecting Jesus, right? Then it's really easy for a wife to love the husband. If the husband's doing those things, that's easy. That's easy to be. If the husband's attempting to be perfect, like Jesus is perfect, it's easy for a wife to love a husband like that. Simple. I will submit. Mm-hmm. I would surrender.
I'll trust.
I would trust, right? So there's some standards. It goes on. It goes on and on and on. Standards. This was a book written by Danielle Devine. It's a phenomenal book. I would pick it up. It is such a good book. Line in the Sand. Recommend it. And in here, she just really lays out really well just Jesus, right? So like one of the chapters, Christianity is not for wimps. The things on the orphan spirit, which you guys will find out more about. And then she goes into counting the cost. And that's really something that we need to do is if you are choosing to live this life of Christianity, you need to count the cost. And there's been recent people that have said, listen, I thought I knew what the cost was, and I'm not really sure I'm willing to pay it. And the cost is everything. There's really nothing on the table that isn't the cost, because it's all of you. It says you no longer live. So it's never about what Lisa wants. It's never about what Lisa's vision is. It's never about what Lisa's future is. It's never about what Lisa's passions are. I no longer live. Lisa doesn't exist anymore. I asked Jesus into my life. Therefore, Jesus exists now. He filled up this vessel. He filled up this. This is the empty pot that was poured out, Lisa. And he's filling me up with him. Now, I have to tell you, I have added some of my own watered down ingredients when it came to it in my life. But I have quickly repented and turned. No, I was wrong. I am wrong. I am not meeting the standard that you have called me to. So I'm just going to list a couple of conditions. If you would like this, I can get you all of these scripture references if you wanted to take some notes later, because she has like four or five pages, maybe six pages of scriptures that are conditions for living the standard of Jesus. I'm just going to go over a few of them here. So it says, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Matthew 6:15. We've talked about that. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. We think of these things and we think, oh, that's nice. Do we actually read them? Deny yourself. How many times have you denied yourself in the last 24 hours? So it says, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Mm-hmm. I have denied him, guys, in my lifetime. I have to repent, get back on track. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Anyone who is angry with his brothers shall be guilty before the court. Everyone who confesses me before men I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And every careless word that people speak shall be given, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. We need to watch our tongues. So that seems impossible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But listen, I'm telling you, he tells us it's possible.
Yeah.
He gave us the example. It feels impossible. So when it feels impossible, guess what we like to do as human beings? Give up. Well, then forget it. I'm already disqualified. I'm out. See you later. I'll just go eat, drink, and be merry and live my life. Yeah. Except for, did we miss the part about eternity and hell? Mm-hmm. Like, did we miss that part? Like, we don't know if we're going to be given a last ditch effort at the end. We don't know. We don't know. You know how many people in my life, okay, I have a list of them. When I was growing up, I had a lot of people pass away in my life. The amount of people that just like literally just dropped dead, brain aneurysms, was standing at the kitchen 1 minute, on the floor the next, gone. Did not have a Hail Mary, did not have a last ditch effort to be saved. Like, this is a reality. Mm-hmm. So how are we living our life? If we call ourselves Christians and we don't live the new covenant standard, we are like a clanging gong. We are fruitless. When they talk about, you know, the vine and the branch, the vine, the one that was connected to the main branch says, I will cut you off and throw you into the fire. That's not a dead branch that doesn't believe. That's somebody that claims to be a Christian, connected to the Father, claims to be connected to the Father through Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I will cut you off and throw you into the fire. I don't want that to be me. It says, you did all these things in my name, and yet I don't even know you. That's not people that don't believe. That's the people that believe. And the reason that he's saying these things, the reason that he's, because he knows the world is going to tell you what it looks like to be a Christian. And are you going to follow the world? Are you going to follow what they say? Are you going to let them set the standard? Or are you going to let him set the standard of what the new covenant is in all of its glory? And I just read a few, right? It might seem overwhelming, but I promise you, you are not alone in it, because he promised us the Holy Spirit, that we are not alone in this journey, that we can do all things. And when I say all things, it's not like one of those bumper stickers like, oh, I can do all things. I can run up this hill right now. I can do all things in Christ. It's not the, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. No, it's the intentional aiming to never sin again. Those things will be the things that you hold as the standard in Christianity. The aiming for the mark. I intend to never sin again. And so I'm aiming for the purity mark, the righteousness mark, the standard mark. I'm not just going off saying, well, the mark's over there, but I believe. Watch my life. I don't know who they is, but most of the world, right? There's chunks of the world that don't believe in Jesus, and most of them don't want to believe in Jesus. Because most of the time, they think they've met Jesus by meeting one of us. Mm-hmm. And we have not held the standard. Yeah. I want somebody to meet me and know that they know there is something different about her, and I need to be close to her. I need to know what it is. I need to know she has something different. I need to know what it is. I have to know what it is. There's a singer that I'm always drawn to, Stephanie Gretzinger. I've watched her since, you know, she started off at Bethel, and one of her first, you know, videos that hit, it was, she has this abandon for the Lord. She's just so like, I just need you, Jesus. And I absolutely love watching her recent testimonies and things that she's sharing. I find them on YouTube, and it's just so inspiring, because I'm like, I want what she has, and I'm a believer. I'm a pastor. But she has this deeper fire that I need in my life, that I am going after in my life. And that's the whole like push and pull of Christianity, to find the people that are further up ahead of you, like Steve. I need to be around Steve, right? Because he has so many years experience of loving Jesus, putting Jesus first, following him no matter what, that I just need to be up close with him. I just need something that he's got, because my life needs to be deeper. I don't need to walk around being exactly like Steve. No, I need to connect with the part of him that connects with the Lord. I need to know that part of him. I need to know how, like, I love watching him when he preaches to the windshield, right? You can watch him walking around. He looks like he's muttering to himself, but he's literally preaching Jesus or having a conversation with the Lord, right? And it's just like, oh, I want to be the one that people think of in the world muttering to themselves. Oh, she's on something. She's muttering to herself. No, I'm having a conversation with the Lord continually, right? I want to have that. So the whole point is to get around people that aren't behind you, but are running the race with you and are ahead of you, because they've got something you need. And I want the world to see that in me, right? That's why living the standard is a big deal, because it's so opposite to the world. So opposite, right? I have a deep knowing, but I'm not done yet. I'm not willing to say I have a deep knowing and then that's it. Oh, I live the standard. I'm good. No, I want to go deeper. I want to go so, like, you can't get to the end of God.
Yeah.
There is no bottom. You can't even get to the, like, there's no end. Mm-hmm. I want to keep going different. I don't want to just say, well, this will get me there. Yeah. No. I want to be able to continue to weed out the things in my life, in my heart, in my mouth, the things I say, the things I think, the things I say aloud. Yeah. So that my kids have an example to go by. So people in my life had an example to go by, right? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you have given us this new covenant standard. And it can seem hard and overwhelming, but you sent the Holy Spirit so that we will not be alone in this. that says that for every temptation, he gives us a way out. So Lord, I ask that every day, every moment of the day today, any time that there is a temptation that each one of these students face, that you would make a clear way out and they would choose it. When it comes to anger, when it comes to frustration, when it comes to different sin in our life, whatever it is, I ask that you would allow us to have a way out of it. You would bring people into our life to pray for us, to switch it up, to shift us, and that we would get to know this standard more and more and more, and that our life would line up with it. That every single day we'd go after you further up and farther in. Our eye is on the prize. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Father. It's you, Holy Spirit. An eternity with you, and you have given us a way. But it says that the road is narrow that leads to life, and the road is wide that leads to destruction. Help us to find the narrow way and to stay on it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in Him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.